Again, I'm going to preach a message on this passage in Jeremiah that is basically a central message when we speak about blessing this city. It's from the book of Jeremiah, and it's a part of a letter that the prophet Jeremiah sends to the exiles in Babylon. I'm going to explain a little bit more about the background of that a little bit later. First, read the passage. And he writes to the exiles, so people that are taken into captivity in Babylon from the land of Judah when they were conquered by the Babylonians. And it says this: "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." I'm going to give you a little bit more background to this whole story, what happened here. For those of you that haven't been reading the Bible all your lives and don't know the ins and outs of the history of Israel, God had chosen the people of Israel as his people, as his special treasure, as his special possession, and his people from all the nations, he chose them to reveal himself to. He took them out of slavery in Egypt, brought them to the promised land, gave them his law, gave them a revelation of his character, of who he is, and with these beautiful promises for them. They were supposed to be an example, set under his blessing, set under his rule and his reign, showing the nations what it means to be under the rule and reign of God again, as the world has been drifted far away from God. And their testimony to the nations would be that Yahweh is the one and only true God deserving worship. But, there's this big but in the whole of the Old Testament, but the people of Israel rebelled, and they did it in two major ways. One was idolatry. For centuries and centuries, they'd been worshiping other gods than the one true God, and it broke the heart of God. You see this in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and in some of these the minor prophets. You see this how God's heart breaks about this, that they were worshiping other gods than him, and he revealed himself to them in such a beautiful way, and he came through for them in such a beautiful way. And the second thing there's a major thing that happened that God accuses them of is injustice like friends, like the suppression of minority groups, the bad way they treated strangers, but also just the marginalized and the poor, how they were keeping slaves. He was very much against that. And through the warnings of many, many prophets for decades, for centuries, at some point it was enough. First, the kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrians. Later, the kingdom of Judah, where the name the Jews comes from later on. First, they were doing quite well, and then they basically took over the same practices as the kingdom of Israel as well. And they were conquered by the Babylonians. And what happens in this time that Jeremiah speaks into is that they've already been conquered several times, sort of not completely destroyed, but definitely overpowered by the Babylonians. And the whole upper and middle class, basically, so all those with some education, they were taken into exile to Babylon, put to work there. They were taken away from their home country. And Jeremiah sends a letter. He's left behind, not because he was stupid, but just because he was also a captive. It was like a strange situation. And he writes to the exiles in Babylon. He writes this letter, and in that letter we find the lines that I just read to you. The Lord brought them into exile. For one reason was as a punishment. As after centuries of warning through prophets, he finally kind of carries out what he's already written in his covenant, that he will remove his blessing from them as soon as they walk away from him. And this is basically what happens here. But there's a second reason, and actually a third reason. The second reason is that the time of the exile was a time of redemption and purifying process for the people of Israel. So you see that the Jews in the time of Jesus take the law of God very, very seriously, even too seriously. They kind of went over to the other side of that spectrum in a sense. But there's this renewal process and contemplating what happened, what did we do, where did it all go wrong, and how can we be a different people when we get back to Jerusalem and Judea. And so it's this time where they had to go all the way down into the pit to understand where they were and understand what the way back up again and way back to God was. So it was this process of punishment, but also redemption for them. And the third reason, I believe, is that God wanted to teach his people how to live in exile, how to live as captives in a foreign land. Because for the rest of the history of the Jews, up until AD 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed again by the Romans and the temple was destroyed again and all of that, they would live under foreign oppression. They would live under a foreign government. They would not have their own government, like in the time of the kings that you read about in the Old Testament. And so they would, in a way, live in exile in Babylon in this time for 70 years, then being brought back, but still be exiles in their own country, still not be able to have their own government and to live the way they wanted to live. They would always be under oppression from a foreign people. And so God wanted to teach them how to live as exiles, what the mindset should be. And God tells them through Jeremiah that they should not become like the Babylonians, nor isolate themselves from the life in Babylon, retrieve themselves, isolate themselves, be their own, like, and just sit and wait until it was over. But he said, go and be a blessing. Seek the peace and the prosperity of Babylon. And what you must understand about Babylon is that it's not just some foreign country. It's not just okay, this is hard in the international church, but it's not, it might be your home country, but it's not just like some country that you don't know. This may be how you feel in the Netherlands, but it's not just some foreign country. Babylon is the complete opposite of Jerusalem. It's the counterfeit, basically. I had to write it down somewhere, the right word. the complete counterpart of Jerusalem. So where Jerusalem is the city of God, the city of God's blessing, Babylon is the place where Satan is enthroned. It's sort of the symbol of human rebellion against God. That's Babylon. It's the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, is it? I think no. Yeah, 11. The Tower of Babel is the city built as an alternative for God's rule, and they were seeking a life without the rule and reign of God, but away from that and doing their own thing and complete rebellion against God. So throughout the Bible, even in Revelation, you see this, that there's Babel and there's Jerusalem, and these are sort of counterparts to each other. So they were not just brought into a place, just a foreign land, they were brought into a spiritually desert place, a completely spiritually desolate country. And that's where they were supposed to refine and find God back again. So it's this strange, Ezekiel gets a vision while he's in Babylon about the throne room of God. And he's wondering, what is he doing here in Babylon? He's supposed to be in Jerusalem, but God had left Jerusalem already because of the idolatry. Anyway, let me try and translate this to our lives today, because as Christians, in a way, we still live as exiles. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, but we're living on this broken planet, impacted, deeply impacted by sin. And so in a way, we live as exiles. It sometimes feels like we live in a foreign land, like in a land that doesn't belong to God, but we're here, we're set under the rule and reign of God, but we feel out of place in this world. We feel like we're exiles. We feel sometimes held captive by this world. But God also commissions us not to pull back and isolate ourselves, nor to become one with the world. But he said, you are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. And so it's that thinking of the time of the exile and the message that Jeremiah gave to the exiles in Babylon, that also counts for you and me. Jesus is sending us out to bring the rule and reign of God wherever we go. He wants people to experience what it is like to live under the rule and reign of God. And that's why Paul calls us ambassadors of God. Jesus is sending us out to represent his kingdom because we've already experienced on a personal level what it means to be under the rule and reign of God and how good that is. And so he says, go. Go. Be salt in the food. Be light in the darkness. Be the yeast in the dough. Show them. Tell them what my kingdom is like. Testify what it means to be under my rule and my reign. And so, as the people of God living in a world that is rebelling against God, we are also not supposed to be here with a temporary mindset. Like the exiles in Babylon, we are not supposed to be there with a temporary mindset. They were supposed to be there with this mindset of blessing the city they were in, even though it was temporary. And so God also says to us, I think, as Christians in Groningen, do not be here with a temporary mindset, but be here, like, see yourselves as a blessing to the city. This is not just a city you happen to be in, you happen to live in for a while. This is, at this moment, this is your city. The city of Groningen is your city. I know, it's also not the city I grew up in, but I'm falling in love with it. And I believe that's God's doing. He says, this is your city. This is our city. As Vineyard Groningen, Groningen is our city. God has placed you here for a reason, to be a blessing to the city. Let's look at verse 7 again. It says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now, that word seeking means that we have to have a sort of active posture. It demands action. It's seeking. You're after something. You're looking for it. You're helping to make it happen. Seeking is not just, you know, hoping it will happen, praying, Lord, let it happen in some way, and when it happens, we'll be there. No, it's this active posture of I want to see to it that it happens. I want to be a part of this. I want to make it happen. And so I pray that we as a church may also have this active posture towards our city, to seek its peace and its prosperity, to be a blessing to the city. Now, I know that you may have come here for very different reasons, not with this missionary mindset, I'm going to be a blessing to the city of Groningen, but you came here maybe through the coincidence of a great study program, or because of a job, or because of someone that you love, or whatever the reason is that brought you here. It may be so that, you know, your brains are here and your body is here, but your heart you left behind in your home country. I understand. I really get that. I fully understand that. But I believe that God is challenging all of us to not be here with a temporary mindset, even though there's an end date to your time in Groningen, but to be here to be a blessing to the city in whatever way you can. And the thing that we're supposed to seek is the peace and prosperity of the city. Now, this is interesting because it's actually two words that translate one word in Hebrew, and that word in Hebrew is shalom. It might sound familiar, shalom. It's a greeting. It's far more than a greeting. It's usually translated as just peace, but it means far more than, certainly than the absence of war, but it also means more than just a peace of mind, or like a peaceful, like, ah, oh, I feel so peaceful. It's much more. Shalom points to a life under the rule and reign of God. Shalom points to a complete well-being of body, soul, and mind. It's this, I'm under the rule and reign of God. I'm living out God's will in my life. It's good. I'm healthy. I feel good. I feel like I'm doing what I've been created for. It's this understanding. I'm under God's reign. His will is being made perfect in my life. As Christians, it's our longing and our mission to see this world coming back under the rule and reign of God, and to see its shalom happening. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples about shalom. He said, peace, shalom, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So we are receiving it from Jesus. This is one of the things he says just before the crucifixion. My peace I give to you. And then again, when he meets them after the resurrection, he says, peace. We are carriers of that shalom, always and everywhere. We carry this good news with us. We carry the presence of God with us. The peace that the world lacks and is running after in so many different ways and is yearning for this peace. We're just looking for peace in all this chaos. The thing that they're looking for, the thing that the world cannot offer, you and I carry with us. You and I carry that shalom with us. And here's the thing. Peace doesn't run out when you give it away. When you give it away, it just multiplies. You know, you don't lose it when you give it away. It multiplies. All right. As Vineyard Groningen, I want to close off with three ways that we're going to bless the city. And we're going to look especially to the international community in the city, probably making up about 10%, 10 to 20% of the city of Groningen is internationals. And so we have a big playing field. And we're going to look at three ways that we're going to be a blessing to the city. Now, this comes from a meeting that I've had with our MLT, with the ministry leaders team. How do we want to bless the city? How are we going to do this? It's this vision we've had for a long time already, even before I arrived. And so we've discerned three ways that we want to be a blessing, and that's through prayer, serving, and witnessing. I'm going to go by each one of them quickly because we're running out of time. This will all be on my blog and on the Facebook page and on the website. Heart of our prayer is your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the heart of our prayer. That's what we try to work out as well in our Kingdom Come nights that we do on several Friday nights throughout the year. Next one, 13 December. Jesus is the giver of that shalom, and we are vessels for him to use. And when we pray, it's not only that we're opening doors for the Holy Spirit, but when we pray for the city, we're also opening the doors of our hearts for God to speak to us in what way we can make a difference. I believe that he's giving us like a holy discontent for something, like this unrest about something that needs to change for the kingdom of God that we can play a part in. And so as a church, we have four different prayer groups that meet weekly. We do Kingdom Come Nights. We're also looking for other ways connecting with other churches around projects that have to do with prayer. So the week of prayer is coming up in January. We're looking at other ways that we can be praying for the city, be a blessing to the city. And here's something that you can do as just you, as an individual. I want to look with all of these three things at how can we do this as a church, but also how can we do this as an individual. And as an individual, here's just three tips for you. Keep a short list of people that you know in your neighborhood, at work, at your study, wherever, at your sports club, that do not know Jesus, and commit to pray for them daily. Why don't you just take three people that you pray for on a daily basis, that they might get interested, at least, in Christianity. That they may ask you questions about who Jesus is and what it means for you and all of that. That you may have entry points in conversations. Just pray for a few people around you. Here's another way. When you travel through the city, bus, bike, car, however, by foot, just pray. Shoot up some prayers for the things that you see, for the people that you see silently. Just bless that person, Lord. He looks sad. Will you comfort him? Okay, that's okay. But just shoot up prayers for the things you, for the buildings that you see, for the people that you see, for the churches that you know. For just pray for the city as you travel through it. And also seek to form prayer groups at your work, study, neighborhood, wherever, with Christians that you know. Come together and pray for that environment that you're part of. Just be a blessing to it. Second way that we're going to bless the city is through serving. Now, I love how in churches around the world we've rediscovered servant evangelism. Just by serving people, supplying needs, that we're showing people the kingdom of God, basically. That we're being a blessing to them without any hidden agenda. if there's an agenda, it's open. We're here in the name of Jesus, or without any agenda, just I'm here, I'm giving you something because I love you, and if you want to know more about my faith, then ask me. But with that attitude of just action first, helping people first, and just showing the love of Christ. As a church, we do this through one of the ways is our partnership with Overwega. I'm so privileged to be part of this place that helps getting women out of prostitution that are usually not there by their own choice. So we've been helping in practical ways and with financial gifts and with supplying volunteers for this whole project. We're going to do this through the Christmas box thing, the Kerstpakketten actie. We'll tell you more about that through email. We're seeking to help our home groups, basically, to see what they can do and in what way they can do a project. As individuals, here are some things that you could do. I want to encourage you, just in general, not to jam-pack your daily schedule with too many things to do, but always seek opportunities to be of help to someone else. So just serve people. Just be nice. Just be generous. Another way is let us all be known as servants, seeking the best for everyone. And thirdly, get involved with local initiatives like a parent council, like any other opportunity that you can be a blessing to the world around you. Lastly, not least, witness. The ultimate answer to this unrest in the world and the chaos is Jesus. And that will be revealed to people by our witnessing, by our telling people about who he is. And so we need to open our mouths to witness about who Jesus is. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And I think we need to lose some of that shame. We need to be unashamed about the gospel of Jesus Christ, ready to open our mouths when there's an opportunity to. And I don't understand my own discomfort with share. This is easy. But a one-on-one conversation with someone who doesn't know Jesus is harder. And it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or just a Christian person. Sam. Or lay. Sorry, that's the better word. So that doesn't make me better than anyone else in those conversations. I feel a bit uncomfortable in that. It's hard. It's difficult. But I don't understand my own shame around that, because haven't I already given up everything? Haven't I already surrendered my life to the King? So what am I ashamed? What do I have to lose anyway? I've already given my life, right? So I just want to submit that to you, that idea of let's be unashamed. We're living for the Kingdom of Kings anyway. As a church, we're doing that through the Alpha Course. We hope to cooperate again with host iFest to do an Alpha Course right after Passion Week. That's another thing that we're doing to reach the student community. Two of our home groups regularly visit international services at the Martini Church to connect with internationals that don't know Christ yet there. We're taking part in the International Christmas Service on the 14th. More about that soon, but we're supporting that. We're helping to make that happen. It's also an outreach type of service. And we're looking for many more opportunities to jump into as a church to evangelize, to witness, to help that. For you as an individual, just one thing. Always be ready to be a witness of Jesus. Don't barge into conversations and start preaching to people. But when there's an open door, do not be afraid to step in, because the Holy Spirit will guide you in your conversations. He will give you the words if you go in there with that faith and with that confidence. Lastly, let's stand up. I want to ask the worship team for one more song. We're going to have one more song, then we're going to be finished. But I want to take this moment to pray together. I've been talking about the bigger picture of blessing the city. Rather fast, I'm sorry about that. But let's look at what this can mean for our individual lives, what part we can play in that. And what I want to pray for and want to ask the Holy Spirit for to do, as we stand with just if you want, put your hands into a sort of a receiving hold the TV type of position like this. This receiving posture. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, will you come and speak to us personally and give us a holy discontent, this unrest in us about a certain situation or about a certain person, which will motivate us to pray, which will motivate us to serve and to love, and which will push us to witness, to do something about this, to speak up, to walk into the open door that people sometimes give to us, to be witness of Jesus Christ. And so we just pray, Holy Spirit, will you come and will you stir our hearts in this moment with holy discontent. Someone to pray for, some bigger scale situation or some injustice in the city or a certain people group that we know of, or maybe a worldwide thing even. Will you stir something in our hearts? Will you reveal to us how you want to use us to bring your rule and your reign in this city, in this country, in this world? Amen.